It's a novel set against the backdrop of a world war and the protection policies at the time. A most peculiar act for Marie Munkara follows Sugar, a 16-year-old Aboriginal girl, fighting against assimilation, bureaucracy and the chief protector. Set in Darwin during 1942, Sugar finally meets her oppressors on a level playing field when World War II comes knocking at their doorstep. Marie spoke with Away's Rico Adrin during the annual Wordstorm Festival in Darwin recently.
Hey, I'm Marie Munkara. My countrymen are Tiwi and Rimbaranga from Central Arnhem Land. That's my mob. And, yeah, I've written another book, book number 4, but my second novel. So I've written 2 novels now and 2 children's books.
First up, Marie. Wordstorm rolls in for another year, and this last few years your writing has really taken off. Tell us about your involvement with the festival over the years.
Oh, look, they've been so kind to me. I've been involved in many panels with many amazing writers, that people that I've been in awe of. Had a fantastic panel with Wendy Harmer one time, and when she said, oh, your book is the funniest thing I ever read, I thought, wow, coming from a comedian, this is like the best. So, yeah, my involvement over the years has been pretty full on, yep.
The festival is no slouch in drawing literary movers and shakers. Can you touch on how it compares to others on offer around Oceania?
I think it's got a nice homely feel. Yeah, there's such a the way that the different writers that have been brought together and put together on panels, I think they've been very carefully balanced. And you've got people that are locals, you've got people who are, you know, not as well known, mixed in with the ones who are like out there and really doing it with their writing. So I think it's just got a lovely feel. It's very much like the Kununurra Writers Festival. It's just a nice little sort of homely festival, and it's beautiful. That's why it attracts so many people.
I guess Darwin just has that feel unto its own too. Like, you can have a festival in Sydney or Melbourne and that, and it's hustle and bustle, but here it's...
Yeah, that's it. That's how it is. I don't think they could do it any other way, whether they tried, so...
Besides the industry book launch for A Most Peculiar Act that's coming up, which events won't be missed by Marie Munkara as part of Wordstorm?
Oh, I won't be missing the talks about Andrew McMillan. He was a great mate, so I'll be looking forward to those, and I can't even think of the panel, but the one with Dr. Phil McLaren on. Phil's a great speaker, so I certainly won't be missing that one. And there's another panel with Alexis Wright. She just speaks so beautifully and from her heart, and yes, I'll be looking forward to that one too.
When people think of NT writers, Andrew McMillan does come up, the late Andrew McMillan. You said you're good friends. Could you tell us what you learned from him as a person and as a writer?
To not take it as seriously as what people want you to. Yeah, he always had that nice attitude that, hey, what happens, happens. You know, what if it flows, it flows. And, that's what I loved about Andrew. He was just so, hey, don't take it so seriously. And I've always followed his advice. I think we were kindred spirits in that anyway, because I've never really have, so it was good to know that that's how someone else did it.
Since we last spoke, which would have been around 2010, you've been piecing together this latest work, A Most Peculiar Act. You've been National Year of Reading Ambassador. How has this last few years been in the wake of that publication, Every Secret Thing?
Well, it's been remarkably busy. I just thought, okay, you write a book and then after a few years it sort of fizzles out and you sort of like try and do something else. But it just keeps going and going, that book. And... yeah, it still sells well. I still get asked to appear in festivals. I still, yeah, it's even 5 years later, it's got a really great life. And, so now moving to the next one, it's good that there hasn't been this big sort of gap, this big dead sort of space in between.
You know, since bursting onto the scene, after winning the David Unipin Award back in 2008, touch on your eagerness now to write. Because, you know, reading an interview you did a few years back, when asked, are there more stories, your answer was, Are there ever? There certainly are. Your eagerness to write.
Oh, look, that will never die. It was always there, and it's just now I've been given the space to be able to create and just to keep writing. Before it was hard. You're bringing up a family, you know, you're sort of trying to find where you sort of fit in the world, I guess. But all that's since then is just unfolded, and I couldn't have wanted in any other way.
With a most peculiar act, can you now touch on your form as an author? Just the way you write.
A most peculiar act is a little bit different to Every Secret Thing in that there's a main central character that runs through it and there's a lot more dialogue, and I think I was just exploring things a little bit more as a writer, and I'm sure the next book will be different again. I think we need to sort of like not become stagnant. It's good to sort of keep your reader interested, and they'll be wondering now what the next one's going to be about and how that will be written. It'll still have the satire and the humour in there because that's sort of just part of how I do things. But just in terms of the craft of writing it, I'm sure that the next one there'll be, you know, a difference to how I put that one together.
For that Every Secret Thing, the process of writing it seemed very insular, you know, just getting it done and then just a matter of putting it out there and then receiving feedback. Was that the case with A Most Peculiar Act?
Yes, even fewer people, just a handful of people would have read bits and pieces of it, whereas with Every Secret Thing, I was sending it off to mates saying, okay, what do you think about this?
Okay,
yep. So there was a lot more, I mean, there weren't a lot of people, but there were a lot more people that had feedback, and this one I just sort of just sat down and did it, and that was that.
Every Secret Thing took 12 months to put together. How'd you go this time around?
Yeah, same thing. I think that seems to be my form, doesn't it? You sit down, write for 12 months, and hey, here's a book, you know?
Well, was the pressure on to deliver this time around, you know, after the acclaim from...
Oh, look, I think no matter what you do, you don't want to be a one-book wonder. Never so. The pressure wasn't there. It was just I knew there'd be another book there, and here it is. But, yeah, no, there was a desire to just hope that this one's not going to be a flop because, you know, there'd be nothing worse with this. But I think I've heard a lot of feedback and some people saying, wow, this is great, this is better than the other one. And some people saying, oh, Every Secret Thing will always be my favourite, but I love this one. So, yeah.
We'll explore A Most Peculiar Act in a second. But with your writing, I know there's that wit, which we, as the reader, we love to read in your work. But as a writer, do you ever feel uncomfortable sharing some of these... the more biting accounts in these works?
No, not at all. You know, it's not because I'm trying to say, oh, poor bugger us, you know, look what's happening. It's because this happens in our everyday lives. Every one of us has been touched in this way, and the more we write about it in a way that's not confronting and in a way that we say, hey, this is there, we're not going to be afraid. It needs to be said, and I'm going to say it because this is what happened to me. You know, this is what happened to people in my family, and I've got no shame about that.
Effectively, this what you're documenting here is the destruction of a culture, of Indigenous or Australian Aboriginal culture, but the way in which you do it.
Yeah, look, it's the destruction, but it's also the just shows how strong we are to keep going, and maybe we may not come back in the same way, but we use what we've got to keep going and to form another. You know, to put, you know, strength to our lives. And so, yeah, there might, on one hand you've got the sadness, but on the other it shows just how we are as a nation of people. We're strong. We don't lay down and die.
A Most Peculiar Act. Touch on the character Sugar.
Oh, Sugar's hard-headed. Oh, she's a little terror. She knows her own mind, this girl, and despite what life throws at her, she wins. You know, she's always, that's that strength that I was talking about, that resilience that we've got, you know. We just keep going, and this girl, she just personifies resilience. And, and in the end, there's a nice little twist at the end, and you know, yeah, Sugar, you're right, girl, you've made it. She's very, very strong.
She's one of the central characters throughout this work. Also, could you touch on Horrid Hump? Or Horatio.
Oh, well, dreadful horrid hump. Well, I must confess I've based him on someone that I actually worked with. This is like so terrible, even what he looks like. So if he's out there listening, I hope he doesn't get upset. But, yeah, no, he's very much like someone I know. And even in the manner, but it was just, like, he's a bumbling fool, but he's trying, in the end, you sort of realise inside there is a heart, you know, and he really does realise in the end, I want to actually do something. At first it was, hey, you know, I'm in control. And then slightly, just a very slight shift. No one's, you know, just people, just events and situations wore away at him, and then, yeah, he came round and realised maybe he was doing things wrong.
Each chapter begins with clauses from the Aboriginal Ordinances Act of 1918. Between stories from your family and extended family out Tiwi Way, plus your own personal experience, it must have been easy, eh, to look at the Ordinances Act and just recount perhaps an event or a story relating to the particular clause.
Oh, yes.
For this book, was that the process of using the ordinances as a backbone to steer?
No, well, actually, I wrote the stories first, and then I thought, I've got to give this a bit more oomph. And because I, you know, being sort of set with, you know, in that time where there's patrol officers and, you know, where the, you know, there's a policy of assimilation, I thought, I need to bring that in somehow. And then I thought, I know. And so I looked on the internet and found it. And I thought, my God, that actually, there's things in that actually matched, you know, the stupid, the absurd things that I was talking about in my chapters. And so it was so easy. I just picked this one here and that one there. I thought, yep, that'll do. And so, yeah, it was like it was written for this. It was really weird.
Every secret thing I gather was early 20th century. Come to a most peculiar act, which is based around the early 1940s. Is the next work perhaps going to leap in time through to the Northern Territory National Emergency Response or intervention?
Well, you never know. I've got two on the go, but I hadn't thought of that. But thanks. I might use that if you don't mind.
Well, that's where I thought it was progressing, you know, the start of the 20th century.
Well, you know, you actually picked up on that, because the next one of them that I'm working on will go forward in time to about the 60s. And then that's this child that's growing up. Sort of be based a lot on my own experiences, but this kid growing up in a, you know, removed and growing up in this situation that's, yeah, foreign environment, but then sort of like eventually coming back to the space where you originally sort of left off. So this journey, full circle. But, yeah, so you're right. You picked up very well on that, and so that's where it'll go.
I never got to ask what the feedback was for Every Secret Thing. You know, after all that whirlwind of releasing it and launching it and travelling around the country, what was the feedback overall?
It was just so strong. I would have people just walking up to me and bursting into tears saying, you know, oh, thank you for explaining it in such a lovely way. Now I understand, you know, I always wondered why people did things like this, or your countrymen did things like that. Now I know. And I was stunned, because I didn't actually write the book to explain anything. People got their own interpretation, you know. But it's good that it's opened up people's eyes. And I had this workshop with Film Australia, and they were saying, this is just screaming out to be a TV miniseries. You know, it's got to go out there, because it's too much to put into a film, but it really needs, because it's such a visual book, it needs to be, you know, on television. So
coming to a most peculiar act, what makes you so proud of this latest publication?
I don't know. It's sort of like having another child, you know. It's just like another little baby, and there it is, and you're going to watch it grow and nurture it. And so I'm just proud of it, because there it is in its own sort of little entity, and it's complete. It's beautiful, like when you give birth to a little baby and it's all sweet and complete and all that. Well, there, this book now. You know, when the launch is done, it's just sort of like, wow, that's it now. It's out in the world, and I've got time and space and energy now to work on the next one.
You know, for me personally, being from here, I'm reading about the compound and stuff in A Most Peculiar Act. It hit home, because I thought of Carlin and stuff like that. But I don't know, it was, because, you know, there are terrible memories associated with it, but you have also, you've allowed me to really immerse myself in that world. You know, some of the elders really didn't want to talk about it, or some did, and that. So I really appreciated this book in that sense, where I got really inside that era, because sometimes you're a little bit ashamed to ask the elders and stuff like that. But no, I love this. I absolutely loved it. Whether it was somewhere like Garden Point or something. Thank you for this book. I really enjoyed it. And mixed emotions, you know, reading it. But you've done it so well with that wit and that delivery.
Well, I hope people don't get offended, though.
No, people won't
think that I'm being sort of a bit too flippant about it.
No, not at all. That's what I didn't get from it. Yeah, no, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Could you touch on your craft, you know, writing as a creative outlet, and, you know, just the pen being mightier than the sword?
Well, that is absolutely true. I can't remember who said that, but it's so true. Words are just so powerful, aren't they? You can just change the way someone thinks. You know, you can start wars. You can say, I love you. You know, just so, words are so beautiful. And there's some people in the world that are so clever, and they can just put them together on a page so beautifully, and they just want to make you cry, you know. I hope that my writing is just such that people can find really good things in it, and it can sort of like, I don't want to change the world, but I want people to realise that this is what happened, and I'm absolutely proud of it. You know, I went through, you know, I went to Garden Point, and look at me, here I am. You know, I was born on the banks of a river, but that doesn't mean it was going to stop me, does it? And there's many more people out there with incredible stories that we'll never get to hear, which is a terrible pity. But yeah, writing just gives you that vehicle to express and to just give this to the world. I wouldn't do anything else.
So finally, what are readers in store for with A Most Peculiar Act?
Oh, once again, a good laugh. It's a good rollicking tale. It's a good laugh, and there's bits that will really make you sit back and think. And they still, when I read them, they make me cry.
That was Marie Mankara talking to Away's Rico Adrin at the recent Wordstorm Festival in Darwin about her new novel, A Most Peculiar Act, which is out now through Mugabala Books.